you're jumping into this. It's more than a series. When we come to a vision, we present Vision Sunday. It's more than just a preaching series, a good idea to preach the next season. We've been praying. The mission doesn't change, by the way. Reach those who are far from God. That's not going anywhere. That's at the very top of what God's called us to do. We don't exist for ourselves. We exist for the world that's out there. Then we're reminded that we're called to raise up in Christ and raise men and women up within this community from whatever shape or form and wherever they come from to be more and more of who Jesus has called them to be and do that in community. So things like, if you'll see at the back, there's a big wall with details about life groups. They're going up because that's where we grow. We're going to keep giving emphasis and energy to those spaces where people grow the most. And then lastly, to release wide for the kingdom of God. And had the privilege of praying with an amazing couple this morning, and moving to Australia, but knowing and hearing the story of what God has done with them in this community, with their passion to see the kingdom of God advanced as they go, essentially for work purposes, but we know that when God moves his people, it's always for his kingdom. And so we're speaking about this thing, Build My Life, and I mentioned last week, I just want to remind us, it's partly for me from two different places. One, we've been through a personal journey of a building project, and it's been big for the last two nights. We could only get into our house by climbing one ladder, scaling two roofs, going up another ladder, and climbing through a window. That's how we got into our house. It was fun. My kids loved it, my wife not so much. But no one's fallen off the ladder in a real sense. And we learned how to carry things up. I thought we'd have a romantic glass of wine with my wife last night until I realized carrying wine glasses, a bottle of wine, snacks up a ladder is not the easiest thing in the world. Don't do it, especially not in the wind. It's not great. And but we've been on this journey and realizing that to build something, to take something and say, God, would to build it, to go starting with the foundations is hard work. It needs skills, it needs investment, it needs focus, it needs planning. It's hard work. And maybe you're just navigating life and thinking, well, my life will end up somewhere. I'd probably challenge and present that it'll end up what you build. But if you don't build intentionally, you're going to default to something that you didn't think you were building. Yeah. I've seen that in marriages. I've seen it in financial stories. I've seen it in emotions. I've seen it in sexuality. It's like, well, I'll end up there. Well, how? There are dots to be aligned. And if you want a great marriage one day, start now. Start in grade 10 with your thought life and what you open up your hearts to. Why? Because you are already putting the blocks in the foundation stones of your marriage in 20 years' time. I'm telling you. And so we got to keep going on that journey. And that's one reason why this Build My Life is so important. The other is that I encountered a statistic that 85.3% of South Africans identify as Christian, which in one sense is incredible. It's like, wow, 85.3% say, Jesus is Lord. But where I struggle is the disconnect to a whole bunch of other statistics about South Africa, like fraud, like crime, like rape, which are horrendous. And I've got to say there's a disconnect. I'm not here to judge the disconnect. I'm here to observe it and say the disconnect is a challenge. And if the church, 85.3%, we're walking and building the way God has called us to build, I'm telling you, we can change the statistics of this nation. I believe it with everything inside of me. And so as we navigate that, we can't start with a nation. We can only start with ourselves. Healthy people grow. Healthy people grow churches. They grow life and they bless cities. I want to make sure that God's got us on that journey of building our lives with Jesus as a solid rock, with Jesus, his ways, his word, and his life in front of us, and a life that brings him glory. If you live for that, I promise you it'll go well for you. It's the best plan you could have for your life. But it's going to be challenging. It's going to have challenges along the way. And the question, the big idea, the big challenge that God is asking all of us at the start of this process. Here's the thing. This is not the preaching series, yes. I'm just provoking thought about, are you building your life? Or are you just falling forward? It's an amazing thing. Children can fall forward and we go, look at them walking. But there is an expectation as we grow up and we mature, also the same as we grow up and mature as believers, that there's an intentionality and a focus. This is not a series of, come on guys, you can do it. It's not that at all. That's why we've preached 5 weeks of Jesus, the gospel, and everything the gospel has done and won for us. It is done. But I want to present what the building journey beyond that is in our lives and in our story. And the challenge comes, the Great Commission, Jesus says, go and tell the whole world the gospel of Jesus Christ, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to do everything that I've commanded. There's a responsibility to be teaching and to be taught the commands of Jesus and how to walk in them. And so the reference for this series comes from a well-known scripture Jesus has just been teaching his disciples the sermons on the mount, and at the end of that, he presents this challenge. He speaks of the wise builder and the foolish builder, the clever builder and the dwarf builder. Might be a better way to understand it. Says this, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Let's just stop there. Everyone who hears the words, what are we doing in church? We're hearing the words. But the challenge isn't to hear, the challenge is to put them into practice. When we put them into practice in our lives, when we apply them in our lives, that is when the power kicks in. A very real example is I've watched my youngest son play 4 cricket games this weekend. Before each game, encourage him. I had the privilege of being there. Okay, what you want to do, bud, when you get in, because he opens the batting, so you've got some time, just play it straight, you know, elbow up, straight, and he's practicing perfectly. Dad, how's that? Perfect, boy. Next one. Walks into the middle, fastest under 11 left arm bowl I've ever seen in my life comes on, and first shot. I'm like, what? What have we just done? What did we agree? The first 10 balls. And it's like we struggle to put into practice what we've heard sometimes. We do. Well, I don't know why, but I do. The challenge of Jesus is it's not about hearing the words, it's putting into practice his words, his ways. Then you're a wise man. It says, the rain came down, the stream rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because its foundation, it had its foundation on the rock. It says, actually, that wind came, the winds blew, the water rose, but the foundation was the rock. That wasn't moving. It was able to hold its shape. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. I love the way the message says. The message, it's like just taking my words and using them in your Bible study and not applying them to your life. Like, we have great conversations about Jesus. We have wonderful ideas about his ways and his call for our lives, but we just talk about it. We don't put it into practice. We want to speak this year and pursue the practice of Jesus and his ways. I'm telling you, then we'll thrive. Then we'll be a part of changing the statistics. And we see some of the great builders in the Bible. King David, who is celebrated as the greatest king that worshipped God, and he was this king after God's own heart, but he had these building projects. His own life was a building project, and it started in a field before there was any acclaim, before there was any crown, before his dad even recognized him. The building started as he fought battle upon battle upon the lion and the bear, and he went on the journey of worshiping God on his own with no one around. No Olivier on the piano. No worship leader, just him and the sheep. Bah. He worshiped God. Why? Because he was building something. Then when Goliath came, he stood. He didn't stand at someone who'd never built something. He stood at someone who'd built his life and became a giant slayer. And I think there's a challenge as we navigate our lives that here's the challenge. First of all, both the wise builder and the poor builder, the one who built on the rock and the one who built on the sand, the storm came to both equally. And one of the challenges, we think we come to Jesus, there are going to be no storms. Really? Read how many storms there are in the Bible. Number one, some of which, many of which God sent. And secondly, others that he allowed. And thirdly, that he was with them every time. Every time. And that's the promise. The promise isn't we won't have storms. The promise is he'll be with us. But just before the scripture, in that same Matthew chapter 7, here's a really tough scripture. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But only the one who does the will. Who does the will, who doesn't speak about the will, who doesn't romanticize the will of God, who doesn't put it on Instagram, who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. And it's this reference to then going to the next scripture, which is about the builders, and this comparison of the one who builds on the rock, and the only difference is the one who does what Jesus speaks about. It's a challenge. And I want to speak, just before we jump into the series, just to some of the makings of a master builder. I met Drew tonight. I thought he was the designer of his shirt because it got Drew, but it's a very cool shirt. Check his shirt. But I'm meeting this young man who's working now, and I'm going, God, please, if he could encounter the King of Kings and build his life, you can do anything. You can change this nation. Not just set up a life. That's too small. You can change a nation. When we start to come out, Noah was just a man that we know him for, the guy who built the ark. Isn't that? Anyone know Noah? If you didn't read, maybe you've seen the Hollywood movie. He's the guy who brought the animals two by two and his family on the ark, and 40 days it rained, and they were saved. But before that, a tragic scenario happened, and this is the scenario. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I've created, and with them the animals, the birds, and creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I've ever made them. Good news, never going to happen again. God promised it. So relax. If you're getting nervous, every time you see it rains, relax. God says, never going to happen again. Reminder, being the rainbow, says, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. So there's this radical, crazy running against God and his purposes. We see earlier that it says people were just marrying whoever they wanted. The Nephilim were in the land. There were these giants walking the land, and they had control of the land, and people were living in fear. We don't know much more than that. We don't know exactly how many people are living. Some estimated a few million. Others estimate up to billions, because people were living till 800, 900 years old. The genetic code was so pure still. But we don't know that stuff. We just know. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Not his family, Noah. Not his wife, Noah. Not his kids, Noah. The blessing, though, when you find favor, is to everyone around you who's close to you. And this is the account of Noah. Because I would present to you tonight that before he was a master builder of an ark, which I don't think he ever was, he was a builder of his life. I want to encourage you that if you want to do something great in life where God gets the glory, it starts with building your life. And it's a journey. And I think there should be that desire to do something great, by the way, in every single person. I love it when people encounter God and they want to take over the world. They find that courage of new life that comes in, and we can do it. And then you can. But there's a building process. I want to go plant a church. I want to go build a building. Yes, do that. But start just with some of the journey that needs to happen a little bit underground, called the foundations. This is the account of Noah and his family. Verse 9. Noah was a righteous man. In an age where there was chaos, Noah was blameless among the people of his times. Blameless. And he walked faithfully with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Judah, Japheth. I didn't mean to say Judah, but I was going to give you Shem, but we went with Judah. You're lucky. But here's the testimony of a man. Not the ark. Before there was ever an ark, there was a man who was seen as righteous. Now, yes, we've preached the gospel because you need to know it's only by the righteousness of Jesus and the imparted righteousness of Jesus that we walk and we are clean and the Father looks at it. Yes. But this man, before that age, had pursued God in such a way, pursued a lifestyle that gave God the glory. He is deemed righteous. He is deemed blameless. Blameless. In a time where there is chaos. And people were just going for it. You thought the 60s was wild. You think sexual experimentation in 2024 was wild. In Noah's times, it was crazy. And then he was a man, whose testimony of his life was he walked with God. He didn't consider God just his aid on the side. He walked with God. It's the testimony of his life. And he was a fruitful man. He had three sons. I consider that the epitome of faithfulness, fruitfulness. No. Relax. But it's, I want to just stop there just for a minute and drill down on this man and his life, because it just says this, but Noah found favor in the eyes of God, and then gives us the reason. Well, righteous, blameless. And so I want to present, if you want to build anything in of your life that's, and I think we all actually want to build an ark. Here's what the Bible promises. The storms are coming. The storms are coming. But my life is called to be built on Jesus. So no matter what storm comes, we stand. We are unshaken. And those storms can look like many things. Had a dinner with two precious people on Tuesday night who I love dearly and I've known for 30 years. Actually, a bit longer. Last year, October, I was in an emergency room in Christian Bond Hospital when their daughter had passed away, praying for life to come back into her body. Since then, their son has hit hard times and is currently in a rehabilitation facility for 6 months. But you know, I encountered people rooted and established on the foundation that is the rock of Jesus. Not people falling apart. I didn't quite know because they live in Durban, we don't spend. But I know them. I've seen them worship Jesus through tough times, through good times, through plenty and through little. And I had the privilege of having a meal with people who are rooted and established on the love and the faithfulness of an unshaken king. So my first challenge is simple, and tonight's going to be simple, that in Noah's story, and if you want to build something that is substantial, and I'm talking about marriage, I'm talking about life, I'm talking about impact into the nations, wherever God, the building project starts now. Don't wait to start one day when I'm making real money. I'll start trusting God with money. I promise you it becomes much harder then. Start now. Don't make one day when I find the real love of my life. Then I will cut out all the rubbish and I'll focus and I'll start putting bricks. It's too late. You're already putting bricks in the ground. They're just probably not good ones. And so you've got to start allowing God to get into your story and start getting into the foundational ones, the ones that haven't even come above the ground. The most important bricks in my house, you'll never see. Because they're underground amongst soft sand with lots of steel and concrete. I think way too much. Just saying personally, but a lot. Very expensive steel and concrete that you'll never see. But it's holding up the house. Why? Because storms will come. That's what a good builder knows. And so I'd present this as you navigate your life and you start out. And our example being Noah, that Noah's story didn't start when God called him to plant the ark. Oh, now I must do something good for Jesus. It started when him and his wife got married 700 years before. I've only been married for 20 years. I think it's pretty special. My parents have been married for 55 years. I think that's pretty special. These guys were married for hundreds of years. That is darn special. I mean, that's a miracle. And they still loving God, still blameless. Blameless after 500 years of marriage. That is pretty special. And so he built his life. But I want to tell you, I'm not trying to say that's easy. I'm trying to elevate that. Because I think we all want the story to build an ark. We all want to do something amazing for Jesus. And the amazing thing about people who've walked with the Lord a long time is you start looking back, you just see the fruitfulness. And Henry and Nats, I've had the privilege of getting, I know the guy who was their pastor for years before. And I walk with them, I say, oh, they were part of that building and that thing and those people's lives and this story. And there's a car that was given away there and there's another car given. And you realize there's just this legacy of fruitfulness. But you build that. It starts in the foundations. Please don't wait one day when the building's up to try to fix it. It's much harder to fix. It's the one thing I've realized. You get the foundations wrong, bash it down. Speak to people when they're getting married, and what people want to do is, well, here's my house. Here's Josh, the house of Josh, and the house of Mignon. And what we're going to do, we're going to build a skywalk across. Just a nice little one of those. We don't need to build a big one. Just build a rickety bridge. You know, one of those, like, it doesn't work like that. You try to traverse that thing when the winds are blowing. You traverse that thing when the Cape Town Southeaster is thumping through Cape Town. No, you've got to take this house down. Make yourself nothing. Consider the same attitude of that of Christ and lose. And then to take those bricks together of those lives and build again. Then you get something strong. So the first point is not complicated. Any building project requires the foundation. Secondly, and this is just a point I want to make, build from blessing. What do I mean? Well, I mean people come to Jesus and I've got Jesus and now I'm blessed and I don't need to do anything. Why? Because I've received every spiritual blessing and you have, and yet the Bible still says build. How do I know that? Because Noah was already blessed. He had family, he had wealth, he had the ability to navigate life, and God comes into the story and says, I found favor with you. You've got my grace upon your story. So how does God give him grace? He says, so now make yourself an ark. And you're going, myself an ark? Aren't you the king and God of all? Can't you make me an ark? God could have made an ark like this. Just one click of his fingers. And an ark could have appeared in the middle of a desert. But God comes to his son, who he's got favor upon, and says, over the next 100 years, you and your family are going to build an ark. 100 years of ridicule, living in a place with no rain. 100 years where there were no storms. 100 years waiting for cedar trees to grow so that he could use them, because God said, use cedar trees. Who's impatient? Yeah, we are the most impatient generation that's ever lived. if your burger doesn't come in 1.5 minutes, you're demanding it free. 100 years building an ark. God could have done it in an instant, but what I present to you is that Noah was building because and from blessing. It changes everything. I mean, he wasn't building for blessing. God, if I build that ark that you spoke about, will you love me? God was loving him through it all. And as you're building the life that God's called you to build to bring him glory, know this, he's with you. Know this, that you are favored. Know this, that even if you have to grow the resources yourself, God will favor you. Your family will be saved as Noah's was. And those you love the most will be saved. And those who are called for the future story of mankind will be saved from 40 days of rain and flooding. It's not complicated, but I do think it's a mind shift for many Christians. I grew up in the church world where people say, hey, Jesus, take the wheel. I remember someone saying at a church, I'm like, what does that even mean? Like, you're driving, maybe in the fancy cars these days, maybe. And I'm not saying Jesus can't. I'm saying God loves to partner with us in the story of building something. We get the privilege. Noah had the privilege. It wasn't a burden. If you look at the ark and 100 years spent building, it wasn't a burden for Noah. It was a blessing. A blessing. And in the journey, you've got to trust. But then the most important thing I think about Noah's life, and simply this tonight, a very simple preach. It goes down a journey from verse 14. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it, coated with pitch inside. This is how you build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. And he says, leave roof in the morning, have a window in the middle, and have this door that opens and bring animals in 2x2. And God gives specifics on how to build an ark. What was Noah's response? And what am I calling your response and my response to be? And it is so counter the culture of our age. He gets all of those things. It says this about Noah. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. He didn't get much explanation. He just went ahead and did it. He didn't ask and say, God, what are your intentions? And I know a better builder, but there's new wood. There's something better than cedar. God, do we really want to take zebras on? I like all sorts of, but that is a useless animal. Why do we need a zebra? Like, the giraffe's just going to get in the way. They're going to have a sore neck after 40 days. God, come on, help me out here. Can we just leave those guys out? And have you seen what an elephant does once a day? What am I going to do with that in that ship, God? We love to do this stuff with God. We love to think we are brighter and more sharp than we actually are. And I don't care how many degrees you got against the glory and the wisdom and the understanding of God, who sees time like it's nothing, who sees into the future, the past, he sees it all. We start bargaining with God. And I would present and purely just encourage you as we go in this year of building, and we're going to speak about stuff like sexuality again. We're going to speak like stuff like, what does the Bible say about your money? Because it's my fault if I don't teach those. God's entrusted me to teach the word of God what God's ways are in terms of things like money, like relationships, like time, like friendships. The Bible speaks into all that stuff. But the church is listening to Instagram. How do I know? Well, 85.3% and rape in a nation. So we got to preach the truth and trust God to do. And the essence of Noah's actions is just this obedience. Not second guessing, not resisting, not even thinking his own personal interests in any way, shape, or form. He laid it aside because he'd built a life of trusting God. Amidst an age where no one did, he built a life of trusting God. He laid it all down, and for 100 years, he built an ark. All the ridicule, all the challenge. You say, Mark, I don't know if I can tell someone about Jesus. Just remember Noah. And you want to build something that'll float amidst the worst storm the world's ever seen. Now, Jesus is our ship, and Jesus is our ark, and Jesus' grace is the only way we'll ever stay afloat. But he encourages us to build. Your business is an ark. It's not a cash cow. It's not a slush fund. It's an ark. People can be saved. Lives can be changed. Your marriage is an ark. Not just for your family, but for a world around who has no hope for relationships. It's an ark. Your sexuality, the way you think, the decisions you make to trust God when the world's going one way, can be an ark. the people you meet on the streets of the city, not for Sunday, for a world that's drowning. And they're drowning without hope, and they're drowning without a way forward, and they're drowning because there is no anchor in their story. Economies will rise and fall, and today I'm happy because the dollar's up, and then the next day I'm not happy because Bitcoin's down, and then next day I'm up because my relationship's good, and the next day I'm sad because she ghosted me. Stop it. Start building on the rock that is Jesus. I'm not talking about become the best churchgoer you could ever be. No, that's good for you, but that's not the rock. Church attend, not the rock. Bible study is not the rock, but it's good for you. The rock is Jesus. And the rock is saying, Jesus, what have you commanded? Let me read to you some of the commands that New Testament Christians are given. Say, God doesn't command. Oh, really? Even the New Testament Jesus, the risen Jesus, is King of kings and Lord of lords. And you're telling me he doesn't have commands? Well, let me give you some of the commands. Romans 12, verse 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Not a suggestion. You want to build your life on Jesus? That's what it looks like. And the tide is going one way in the area of sexuality. You are clinging on. You're clinging. You want another one? Be content with what you have. Hebrews 13. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. You want some more? This is where you say yes. Come, let's get a little Southern Baptist in here. Someone shout, hurt me, preacher. No, don't do that. 2 Timothy 2, verse 24, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. I met with a man the other day. I said, how's it going? Oh, it's terrible. This relationship's fallen apart. It's a business transaction. I said, well, how you handle it? No, well, he didn't do what I wanted to do, so I sued him. I took him to court. I'm like, that's called quarrelsome. The Bible says, do not be quarrelsome. So you can pray for blessing for days, but if you're not going to build on the commands of God, all you've done is put water where there should be cement. And it crumbles. Let me give you one more. Do not. Here's a good one. James 5, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person is powerful and effective. This is not a suggestion. When last did you have a good confession session? I've got one tomorrow night. I go to dinner with two men who are in the leadership of the life of the church, and we can ask questions, and we can speak, and we can bring stuff out. The Bible says you want to build your life? Confess. None of this is eroding what Jesus has done. None of it. All it does is it allows us to build something that floats when the storms come, that is anchored when the winds blow, and that establishes a life that the world will look upon and go, that's a sign and wonder. Can you stand with me, please? In 3 weeks' time, I have the privilege of having a family reunion. And our last family reunion was 5 years ago because we celebrated my parents' 50th anniversary. This one, we're celebrating their 55th anniversary. And I want to tell you, I've watched and I've been in the middle of that story. It's not always been glorious. I've watched them in success, in houses owned, in favor. I've watched them navigate the court, sheriff of the court, come and take everything. And I've watched a marriage stand. Because there's only ever been one foundation. A 5:30 a.m. appointment with the King of Kings, His truth, His word. After it all fell apart, my parents, they would live with us for a season of about 6 months. We had a very small son, still in nappies, navigating life, and we had my parents living. It was quite an interesting dynamic. And 5:30 every morning, I would hear them awake, and I'd hear my mom reading my dad the Bible. It's not much more complicated than that. It's just not. Not this life. We want to make it something more. We get fancy prayers. No, it's not much more complicated than obedience. And we can start with building, and we can give tips. And too much of the church is about, here's 7 tips how to build your life. 7 helpful hints. 7 encouragements. All good. But if they're not rooted on obey the commands, as Noah did. And here's the thing. You can't do it on your own. You need the Spirit of God. You need the power of God. So we're going to read that declaration one more time. Is that all right? Will you read this after me? Nice and loud. Here's who I want to hear it. Let yourself in 20 years hear this. Let yourself in 20 years be the person to receive the blessing of this. Because you know what would happen then? You'll be a blessing to the kingdom of God, to your family, to God, to those God is and the gifts God has put on your life. Read, say this. I declare my commitment to building my life upon the teachings of Jesus Christ. To walk in his ways. To live according to his word. I desire no other than Jesus as my guide. Jesus as my strength. And Jesus as my source of hope. I will seek to embody his love, compassion, and grace in all that I do. I will build my house on the rock of ages that never fails me. I will build my house on the rock of ages that never fails me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for every life established on your grace, your goodness, your love, your kindness, your ability, your power, your healing touch, your victory that you have won, and your blood that never fails. We give you glory and praise, and it is the privilege of every believer to worship you. It is the privilege of every son and daughter to obey your commands and walk in every command and call that you give. It is our privilege to walk as the sons and daughters of the living God. Come and equip, Spirit of God. Come and build lives at this time. Come and work and come and bless every response to trust you. Let's worship.